Well, is the state coming for churches and their charitable status? It was a warning I made when the state came after Family First, and the reason we fought it for 10 years at a cost of around $750,000. There were four court cases, two in the High Court, one in the Court of Appeal, and one in the Supreme Court. We won two, the state won two, but unfortunately they won the one that matters, the Supreme Court. But it's not the only questionable decision that's come out of the Supreme Court lately, is it? But I always knew that if the state succeeded against us because of our views on the natural family and marriage, then they would also come after churches, eventually. Well, buckle up, it seems to be coming. So in the briefing to the incoming Minister for the Community and Voluntary Sector from the Department for Internal Affairs after last year's election and change of government, so basically the new minister gets an update of all the information relating to the areas that they oversee, and it comes from government departments. And what they said was this: issues that stakeholders want reviewed include fundamental matters such as charitable purpose. For example, should the advancement of religion still be a charitable purpose with associated tax benefits? Now, that paragraph in a government briefing is very concerning. The fact that the Department of Internal Affairs has even suggested this, using it as an example, indicates that the charitable status of churches may be a target for stripping away tax benefits, despite the fact that 80% of charitable work in New Zealand is done by faith-based organisations, and according to the government, the value of that work is at least $6 billion each year, 157 million hours of volunteer work. Now, leading up to the last election, the media were hot on the trail of speculation that National were going to tax churches and charities.
Interestingly, when News Hub asked her whether she would rule out tax hikes, she said she'd rule them out for working people when pushed. She added landlords to that list. Now, Nicola Willis has already ruled out a wealth tax, a capital gains tax, an inheritance tax, and any income tax increases. Those are the obvious ones. I'm told that when National releases its plan, people will look at those revenue gathering measures and think, why weren't we doing that in the first place? One question I didn't get an answer on today was whether churches and charities should be taxed, but all to be revealed later in the week. Watch this space.
Okay, well, the plan came out and they weren't, but boy, there was a lot of speculation and hot air by the media the day before. But last week, just last week, so that was from leading up to the election last year. Last week, the media, completely out of the blue, and it seemed with no real current context or issue directly leading to the question, started to exert some more lobbying pressure to target churches. And they asked the Prime Minister about taxing churches.
Do you think churches should have to pay tax and rates?
Look, I'm actually quite open to that consideration of actually thinking through the broader dimension of our charitable taxation regimes and making sure that that's relevant. But for right here, right now, not a focus.
When is that going to happen, though? Because you promised it on the campaign, you talked about it in the debates, you're saying that kind of start to think about it, so are you progressing with
it? Well, I just say to you, our real focus for this, and you've heard me say 137 days into this, there's lots of things, yes, we want to get to, but we are sequencing them and we're being very disciplined to say these are the must-do things that we're focused on for
this
the next 3 months. We'll certainly be looking at things like that this term, yep.
Yeah, they weren't giving up on that question line, were they? It's very concerning that this agenda is now not only coming from a briefing paper from a government ministry, but now from the Prime Minister. And the Mayor of Auckland, Wayne Brown, has already indicated a similar target with rates. This was from about 3 weeks ago.
The Rating Act, places used for religious worship are exempt. The Mayor says that should change.
Well, everybody that we provide services to, which are pipes and water and roads and foot baths and all rubbish collections and all those things, everybody who uses them should pay for.
Okay, so despite Luxon saying, it's not on the agenda. Well, sorry, he said it's on the agenda this term, but not at the moment. News Hub weren't going to let it just die there. They're on a campaign. And so it was this morning on the soon-to-be-closed AM show, and the Finance Minister, Nicola Willis, was asked about the same issue. Now, just before we watch the clip, let's clarify the current law. What is a charitable purpose? Well, there are four categories of charitable purposes, which are set out in the Charities Act 2005. Relieving poverty, advancing education, advancing religion, and other purposes beneficial to the community. What are those other purposes? Well, they could be something like advancing health, perhaps through sport, supporting charitable needs such as old age, disability, or homelessness, protecting the environment, and preventing or easing the suffering of animals. Oh, and running a marae on a Māori reservation. Now, for Family First, we argued that we qualified on the basis of advancing education and other purposes beneficial to the community because we promote research and advocacy around strong families, protection of life, strong marriages, religious freedom, and other moral issues. Well, the state disagreed. But here's two really interesting points. In what category does the Helen Clark Foundation, the Drug Foundation, Greenpeace, National Council of Women, Child Poverty Action Group, or Rainbow Youth fit under these categories? If Family First doesn't qualify, why do they? Good question. But here's the other really important point. The media and the politicians are not discussing the other categories, poverty groups, or education groups, or beneficial to society groups, or environmental groups, or animal groups, sports groups, or marae. No, only religious groups, and mainly churches. You'll never hear the question with the word mosque. Should mosques pay tax? Are mosques charitable? Well, they are charitable, but the fact that the question is never asked should tell you everything. So let's have a watch from the interview this morning on the AM show.
Do you think churches should be tax exempt? Well, this is an issue that we have discussed briefly. It doesn't form part of the government's policy platform. But what we want to see is everyone paying their fair share of tax, and we're conscious that for some time there have been questions about those churches that have a business arm, where the business is a pretty profitable entity, and they're paying a different rate of tax than other businesses because of their church status. It's not been something that we've prioritised immediately on coming into government. We've been focused on putting together a program of personal income tax reduction, but it is an issue that we've said that we'll look at this term.
And when you say look at, would you commit to making some kind of move or decision on that this term?
Well, I think it's really important we take advice on it first, so we understand who it would impact, how it would impact them, and whether it would increase the fairness of our tax system. And until I've seen that advice and that analysis, I don't want to rush to a decision.
Are you satisfied that whatever money churches are making right now is reinvested back into the community? Are you satisfied that that is actually what they're doing?
Well, that's the question that I'd like to answer, so that's what I want to take official advice on and look at carefully. I've no doubt that there are many churches who are putting huge amounts back into our community, who are doing great work for vulnerable people, creating great services. But at the same time, I think for fairness sake, we need to do an evaluation to make sure there aren't churches who are taking advantage of their tax status. And that's why I want to look more carefully at this.
Is advancement of religion a charitable purpose?
Let me just interrupt it there. So note, specifically just looking at one qualification. It's very telling. It's not a review of all charities. It's just one type, the one that provides 80% of charitable work, ironically. And they talk about churches that have a business arm or make a profit. There are many churches and religious organizations that have a business arm that helps them fund the church. I know a few churches, both on the conservative side and some liberal woke churches, that have car parks right next door to them that they rent out and do very well off. I know that Sanitarium makes a profit, but that profit all goes back into the church work. So where do you draw the line? But they only want to target one particular category of charities, and that's the religious ones. Let's just continue.
Well, look, the way that our laws work at the moment, the status of churches is that that's recognised and allows them to be treated differently. And look, that's what we want to take a step back and look at and say, is that working the way it was intended? Is it fair?
Brian Tamaki says that if that happens, he'll send a big bill for all the things that his church does for free. What's your response to that?
Doesn't sound very Christian.
Not very Christian. Does Nicola Willis acknowledge just how many churches and faith-based organisations receive some funding from the government already, to some extent, to provide community services? So bills are already being sent to the government, and these charities are doing a very good job as well. But hey, it's worth a giggle for them both.
If you're not supportive of Brian Tamaki and I guess his way of Christianity, why does his church get to not pay taxes or rates?
Well, look, it's not about my views on religion. It's about the fact that churches traditionally do good works for people and for the community because it's the right thing to do. And so they shouldn't be doing it because they are trying to find a tax loophole. I don't think that's always the case, but I do think we owe it to New Zealanders to look at how these laws are working in practice to make sure they're not being exploited in any way. And I'm not in a position to comment on the particular tax behaviour of any particular church, but what I do know is a little bit of history from when I went to school, that the Bible is pretty clear that we should do good works for the sake of doing good works and altruism, not because we stand to be advantaged by that.
On the pet bonds, what would...
Well, there we go. There's some theological advice from the AM show. And look, I don't think any church is running a church for the tax loophole, because the fact of the matter is no individual can make any benefit from it. Look, this issue isn't going to go away anytime soon. The media have got the bit between their mouth, and rather than the politicians just booting it for touch, they're coming across as weak and easy to manipulate. It's vital that church leaders ensure that they speak up with a strong message that, while not perfect and what organisation is, faith and religion is charitable. It benefits people and society to the good and should be supported because of the significant financial value it gifts the country from its volunteer and community work. I knew that churches would be at risk under a left-wing government, but I expected better from what I assumed would be a more conservative government. Speak up before it's too late.